We're in the midst of a sermon series where we're thinking about the ways that we can bless each other through living in Christian community. And when we let the light that God has put in each of our hearts through the Holy Spirit shine, it shows and provides light and hope and blessing to others. And when we pool our lights together, it can shine out into the wider world, offering hope and blessing to so many more people as well. So as we consider how we can live in community, we're going to think about how we can use our gifts and our service to bless each other and to bless our community and to bless our world in Jesus' name. Would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Paul's an interesting guy. He never wrote a letter without a purpose. And if you read all of Paul's letters together, and most of the time we don't read them all in one sitting, but if you read all of Paul's letters together, you can get an idea of what his purpose was. And this particular letter, the letter to the Romans, is kind of interesting because how many of you have ever had to fill out a job application? How many of you have ever had to fill out an application for school? Anyone ever have to write a resume? Or maybe a cover letter for something? Now you're going, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I want to offer in a very real sense, the letter to the Romans is like a job application or maybe a grant proposal, so to speak. And this is what I mean. Paul wrote this before he traveled to the city of Rome. Paul had been accused of many things, and he had appealed to the emperor of the Roman Empire in Rome to clear his name. And so he was on his way to Rome. And he was confident that his name would be cleared, so he had plans. Just like when somebody leaves one community and moves to another community, and they start making plans about what they're going to do when they get there, well, Paul was making plans. His plan was that after he dealt with his business in Rome, he was going to get on a ship, and he was going to sail to Spain. At that time in the Roman Empire, ships sailed back and forth from Italy to Spain constantly, carrying the agricultural products of Italy to Spain and the agricultural products of Spain back to Italy. So it was no problem at all to get a ship. And Paul wanted to get on one of these ships and go to Spain and start a new church. Now, Paul, by this time, had been a missionary for more than 20 years. And he knew he was probably nearing the end of his earthly life. But he wanted to try to have one more opportunity to take the message of Jesus Christ to a new place. And if he went to Spain, it would mean that he would literally have founded churches from one end of the Mediterranean Sea to the other. I found a neat tool on the internet to try and figure out exactly how far that is in American miles, so to speak. That would be like founding churches from the panhandle of Florida all the way to Southern California. Does that kind of put it in, does that work? It's nice to have a metaphor to kind of wrap our heads around, isn't it? But Paul knew something. He knew that if he was going to do what he felt God was calling him to do, to start this church in Spain, he was going to need support. Paul had a lot of friends and a lot of people who had supported his missionary work, but most of them lived hundreds and hundreds of miles east of Italy in what's now Greece and Turkey and Syria. And though he did know a few people in Rome, he knew that he was going to have to convince some other people to help support him. And so he put pen to paper. Well, actually he dictated it. According to my notes, the guy that actually wrote it was a guy named Tertius. And if you read chapter 16 of Romans, he even gets to say hi to all the people who are reading the letter. Seriously, read chapter 16. You'll see what I mean. But Paul composed this long letter so that he, in great detail, would lay out what he believed about Jesus Christ and how he believed Jesus Christ was changing people's lives and was going to change the world. And Paul wanted to lay all this out so the people of Rome in the Roman church would know who he was, would know that he was someone they could put their confidence in, and that they would support him in this mission to take the ministry of Jesus Christ to Spain. And Paul was also hoping that not only might they be willing to give him some money as seed money for this new church, they would write him letters of introduction to their family and friends and business contacts in Spain so that using those, Paul would be able to get set up in Spain with a place to live and a job so that he could support himself as he sought to start this church. So just as we have to write applications when we're about to do something new, Paul, in a sense, was writing an application because he felt called to do something new. And all of this backstory is important because it brings us to our theme today. We are looking at five areas of Christian life that help us to live in Christian community. These five areas are taken from the promises or the vows that a person makes when they join a United Methodist Church as a member of the church. And we specifically are looking at these areas because soon several of our young people who've been participating in confirmation will join this church as members and will make these vows in front of all of you, at least if you're here in church on the 20th of May. And whether or not a person plans to become a formal member of a church or not, these five promises give us guidance on how we can live together in Christian community. So last week we talked about supporting the Christian community through our prayers and our presence. Well, this week we're going to talk about our gifts and our service. So let's just get right to the heart of the matter. What does gifts mean? Money. I know no one wants to hear the preacher talk about money. But just as Paul knew that it takes money to start a new church 2,000 years ago, likewise it continues to take money and resources to do God's work in the world today. Paul, in our verses for today, writes several times about how we should share resources, about using our financial and material resources. Paul identifies giving as something that the Holy Spirit calls us to do. Paul talks about how all people are called by the Holy Spirit to give some, and some people are called by the Holy Spirit to give much. In fact, their primary way of serving God through the leading of the Holy Spirit will be through giving and through generosity. And not just giving out of their spare change or out of what's left over or something like that, but really giving from the heart of who they are. Where we put our money shows what we think is really valuable in life, no pun intended. I heard a presentation from a Christian author several years ago at a conference, and he was real blunt. He said, "Show me someone's check register, and I will be able to determine some things about their faith." He believed that where we spend our money shows what's truly important to us. And on some level, though I don't know if I would have put it exactly like that, he's kind of got a point, doesn't he? Paul, in verse 13 of our reading for today, reminds us that we are to give to the needs of the saints. Well, who are the saints? The saints are anyone that makes up a church. They are our fellow brothers and sisters who are serving Jesus Christ and who are part of Christian community. Now, we don't give to the church so that we can have the tallest steeple in town, though unfortunately a lot of Christians have fallen into that trap over the centuries. We don't give to the church so that we can have a silver tea set and china that we only use once every 25 years. That's real, believe me, unfortunately. We don't give to the church so that we can have the fanciest stuff in town. We give to the church to actually do the work of Jesus Christ, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We give to the church so that we can sponsor a music ministry that can help raise people's hearts to the loving God through the actions of the music and through the playing and singing of music. We give money to the church to maintain our Sunday school rooms and to provide the supplies that we need to do to share the good news with our children and with people of all ages. We give money to the church to buy Bibles, to share with our confirmation students, to buy devotional materials and small group materials so that people of all ages can grow in their faith. We give money to the church to support the missions and the ministries of compassion that we show to each other when someone in a family is sick, or the love that we show to each other when someone who's part of our church family is grieving. We even give money to church sometimes to help people in our church family who are in crisis and who are in need. Through giving to the needs of the saints in our church, we build up the church and we make sure that this church has the resources it needs to help people meet Jesus Christ for the first time and to grow in their following of Jesus Christ and their relationship with God. But we don't just give money to the people who are already part of our church, do we? Paul puts it this way, and about the last thing he says in this passage, he says, "Remember to extend hospitality to strangers." In Paul's time, that meant that Christian churches went out and brought orphans in off the street and collected babies who were abandoned by the town dump and raised them as their own to show love to people who were in need. And in Paul's time, that meant that Christians stayed in cities and provided care to people during epidemics, even putting their own health at risk so that people would not be suffering terrible illness alone. In Paul's time, Christian churches would give food and clothing and shelter to people who were desperately poor and were literally living on the streets of the cities of the Roman Empire. Some of the churches that Paul founded went above and beyond. They didn't just give money to the people in need in their own cities. They would collect money and send it to parts of the Roman Empire where there was famine so that poor people might have money to buy food. And they also, as we said, would sponsor the missionary activities of Paul and other Christians. They would give the seed money that Paul would need to do to pay for passage on a ship, to go to a new place, to pay his rent the first few weeks while he found a job and got himself set up so that he could then go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And here in 2018, Wesley United Methodist Church is called to continue to show hospitality to strangers. Now, maybe not in exactly the same ways, but aren't we showing hospitality to strangers when we volunteer and when we support the PADS homeless shelter here in our community? When we support the backpack program here in our community to provide food for kids on the weekends when they don't get their free lunch at school? Aren't we showing hospitality to strangers when some of us go out and mentor kids in the schools through the mentoring program that our school district has? Or when we give money to the United Methodist Committee on Relief that will be used to help people rebuild or repair their homes after a natural disaster? In these and in so many more ways, and I do mean so many more ways, you might be stunned how many different good causes people in this church support with their money. We are reaching out. We are showing hospitality to strangers by showing them love and compassion. And a small portion of what we give goes from our church to the General Board of Global Ministries, and it is being used by people to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to continue to start Christian fellowships and Christian congregations all over our world. And a portion of the money also is going to our annual conference, which is being used by our annual conference to start new Christian communities and new congregations here in Northern Illinois as well. In a lot of ways, things haven't changed a whole lot in 2,000 years. Sure, the individual details are pretty different, but when we give, we continue to give beyond our doors. We are asked to give of our financial resources, and though Paul does not mention this, in other parts of the Bible, it's said that we are to try to give 10% of what we earn each year, and some Christians give a lot more than that. Some people in this congregation give a lot more than that. 10% is the goal. But I want to speak on something as well. I want to share a story. I can't remember if I've shared all of this story with all of you, maybe parts of it with some of you, but we also know 10% giving isn't always possible if people are in need. Many years ago, my grandfather, John Thompson, went to the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Kankakee, Illinois. He had a heavy heart. The pastor of that church frequently would preach on tithing, on giving 10% of what you earn to the church. Well, Grandpa John and Grandma Beatrice were faithful church attenders, and they brought their four sons to church each week. And they had heard the pastor preach on this, but they knew that they could not give 10% of what they earned. It was about the year 1939. They had had four sons born between 1929 and 1938. For those of you who may not be historians, that was the Great Depression. My grandfather was a hard worker. He had some education, but in Kankakee, Illinois at that time, the best he could do was get a part-time job. Grandma and Grandpa made it work because their landlady and who rented part of her farmhouse to them and their sons to live in would let them use the garden plot that was on the land attached to the farmhouse because she was too old to maintain it herself. And so through growing a few acres of stuff in that vegetable garden, Grandma and Grandpa fed their boys and canned all the stuff that they'd need for each winter. It's a story maybe some of you can identify with, or at least people in your family can identify with. Grandpa John could not give 10% of what he earned and keep clothes on his kids' back. But my grandfather's pastor responded to Grandpa pouring out his story with a fairly simple statement. He said, John, give what you can. And that's what we are all called to do. And the pastor went on to remind my grandfather, it's not just about money. The church is not just about money. We all have gifts and skills and talents that God asks us to share so that we might bless each other and share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. My grandfather had been a teacher in a country school before he got married. In fact, Grandma and Grandpa had met at a country school teacher mixer and decided they liked each other, and, you know, hence I exist. And so Grandpa was already, by the time he went to meet with the pastor, using these skills as a Sunday school teacher in the First Presbyterian Church. And Grandma and Grandpa would help the church when they had the church cleanup days, not too different from what we did as a church yesterday. And they would help the church when they were doing other things. And they would work with the other parents of the church to raise up the next generation to get to know Jesus Christ. And some of it must have taken. Grandma and Grandpa raised four boys, and all of them were lifelong people who followed Jesus Christ. And one of them, my old man, became a pastor. And his oldest brother, my Uncle Larry, was a missionary in Caracas, Venezuela, and Basra, Iraq, with his family. Grandma and Grandpa, and fortunately their pastor too, knew that it's not just about money. It's about sharing not just our gifts, our financial gifts, but our service, the skills, the talents, the other things that God has given that the Holy Spirit can use to bless others. Paul likewise reminded the people in the Church of Rome and all Christians down to today, use your gifts, serve each other. If you're an exhorter, exhort people. In other words, give them encouragement, build them up, help them see that they have gifts from God. Other people are called to be teachers, sharing the good news with people young and old, helping them grow in faith. Some people are called to ministries of compassion, showing justice and love and peace and kindness to people who are suffering. The list goes on and on. The point is, whatever it is that you are gifted to serve with, use that to serve. In our modern church, maybe we should say that in addition to what Paul said, the musicians ought to sing and play their music. Or the folks that actually have organizational skills, unlike their pastor, should make sure that the church keeps its books balanced and that we can organize to serve people in our community who are in need. The point is, the Holy Spirit wants us to use the gifts that we have to serve each other and to love people. And whatever gift we have, we should remember that our gift is valuable, but it's not more valuable than others. We are to be humble, as Paul reminds us in this passage. Don't think of yourself as better than someone else. Someone might have the gift of preaching and singing, but that is not a more important gift than the person who is working with the children in the nursery, or the person who writes notes of encouragement to people who are suffering and hurting. No one should lord their gift over any other. It is not a good thing when the biggest giver in the church thinks they should be considered and treated with higher respect and decency than the person who cannot give as much because they do not have as much money to give. Christ calls us all to give humbly and to serve each other with humility and to know that we are all children of God, siblings together, brought together by the love of God. And I want to turn to one final thought from our passage from Paul today, to the very first verse that Paul wrote. Paul calls on us to offer ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice to God. Well, what does that mean? It means that we are called to give all we have to God, to make God our first priority in all things. Now, I admit that's scary, and we'll get on that point in a minute, but God is not meant to be a piece of the puzzle of our lives. The relationship with God is meant to be the whole of our lives. We have careers, we have hobbies, we have things we enjoy, but if we truly want to know the full and profound blessing that God is offering us through relationship, we don't give part of our lives to God, we give our entire lives to God. And when we do that, everything is better. Our relationships with family and friends and the people at work and school and everything is better. God offers us transformation. God says, don't let me just be part of your life. If you truly give your entire life to me, you will be amazed at the blessing that you will receive. It will be greater and more profound than anything that you've ever experienced. You will know hope and purpose and love beyond imagining. Now, God does not promise us it'll always be easy. The most faithful follower of God might still break their ankle now and again. But the point is, God will never leave us in the lurch. God will never abandon us. God will love us more than we can imagine. Now, I'd like to say, I have given my life completely and wholly to God. I should be honest, though. I know that's scary. I know that's hard. I'm working on it. Probably a lot of us are working on it. But the point is, as day by day and year by year, as I seek to give myself more fully and wholly to God, I find that there are blessings and peace and purpose that I didn't know existed many years ago. And I believe the same is true for all people. God invites us to put God first, and when we do, when we grow out of the love of God that God has for us, everything else in life is more blessed, and we are such a blessing to those around us. And in our way, in our small part of the world, we help to create the new heaven and the new earth that the love of Christ is going to bring in. So I invite you all, take the plunge. Try to give it all to God and see where God will direct you and see the blessings and the joy that can come. And let us see how our congregation, our part of the Christian family, can bless those around us. May we have the strength to give more day by day. And may we and our world be changed through the love of God known to us in Christ Jesus. Amen.